everyone, I'm Sandy Caldwell. Welcome to Quilt Cabana Corner. Today is Monday, September 24th, and this is episode number 22. In today's episode, I have a few things to talk about from the last week or so, and a book to tell you about, and a few things in some catalogs and one magazine that looked interesting for me to share with you. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about when my family and I went to the Antique Mall in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. That was last Saturday, which I did tweet about a little bit, and I put some pictures on my blog of the fantastic finds that we came home with. So that's really what today's podcast is going to be. And also a public service announcement about smoke detectors based on something that happened to me this week. So let's get started. Last Saturday, my family and I went to, as I mentioned, the Antique Mall in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. We had never been to an antique mall before, although we had been to antique shops. The way that the Antique Mall was set up was two floors, a first floor and a basement, and there were stalls or booths there, and vendors rent space. Now, the vendors are not there, but all of their merchandise is tagged, and if one of them happens to be having a sale or something, it's noted in the computer system. So when you go up to pay for your items, they know to give you 20% off or 10% off or whatever that vendor is offering. So I wasn't completely sure that my family was going to dig this, as in love it. Although we've been yard sailing quite a bit lately and watching Antiques Roadshow and Storage Wars, so the kids all kind of seemed really up for doing it, and so did my husband because he's always looking for sports memorabilia. I'm always looking for sewing items. My daughter Amanda's very into music and photography. Lindsay really likes anything, but she seems to be drawn to purses, and she's also a drum player. So she did find a really cute Peanuts Gang drum that came home with us for a couple bucks. And Leah's pretty much interested in anything that looks cool. And she found a Mickey Mouse telephone that works, so she brought that home and she's been making calls on that. And she actually says, it's cooler than a cell phone. So who knew? Everything old is new again, I guess. So anyways, it took us, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes or so, maybe an hour to get there. I don't think it was that long, though. It was easy to find right off the highway. And the first floor was just loaded with all kinds of stuff, but all the price tags were quite heavy on those items. And when we went down to the second floor in the basement, it was more like an eclectic yard sale. It was really great. There were all kinds of interesting things, everything from instruments to furniture to, you know, old Coca-Cola items, just anything you can imagine, and quite a few sewing machines too, old ones and toy ones. So we spent most of our time on that basement floor. It was really, really cool. And the prices actually were much better down there, so you actually felt you could pick up a few things and bring them home. And bring them home we did. My husband found a couple of bar type items he was looking for. As I said, Lindsay and Leah found the phone and the drum. Amanda didn't find anything there. She wanted to go to a real mall afterwards, of course, so we ended up going to Providence Place, which is a huge three-floor regular mall, so she was kind of saving her money for that. And I brought home a really cute wooden sewing machine storage-type cabinet. It doesn't hold a lot, but it's cute. And I am going to use it. I haven't found a spot in my sewing room for it yet, but I know that I will. There are pictures of all these things on my blog, too, by the way. And I also found a set of three canisters that were from the Pillsbury Company, and they look like bags of flour, and they have all, like, the, you know, flour logo on it, and on the back, there's a recipe. And I thought those were so cute. They were from, I think, 1993. It was a promotion that Pillsbury was doing. So I got all three canisters for $20, and they're on my kitchen counter all washed out and being used. And I just love seeing them there. They're just so cute. I love them. Let's see what else. Oh, I got an old iron that I'm using as a doorstop. And what else did we get? I can't remember. I feel like there was something else, but now I can't quite remember. But we had a super time. It was really fun. There are not very many antique malls near us at all. So this was the closest one that we could find. But I think we'll be on the lookout for others as we travel in the years to come. But as I said, then we went to Providence Place and we had dinner at Joe's American. And that's always a fun time. And walked around. We just had a great time. And to start the day off, my husband and I had been to a few yard sales just in the neighborhood. Kids didn't want to go. They stayed home. So I joked that we were on a yard sale date on a Saturday morning, Greg and I. So we stumbled upon one, though. It was a woman who is a quilter, and she was moving. And she had bins and bins of fabric. I didn't go too crazy on it because it was $20 a bin. Instead, I pulled pieces out that I knew that I would use, or at least cut up into strips to use for something. Not everything in the bin appealed to me, so I really didn't want to spend the money because I knew we were going to be heading down to this antique mall afterwards. So the woman joked that if I thought that she had a lot of fabric outside, I should see what she has inside. So I didn't take her up on her offer to go in and see her sewing stuff. I felt funny doing that, and I didn't want to spend the whole day there, obviously, so I took him home with some nice stuff, and I also came home with a really nice book called Join As You Go Afghans. This is put out by something called the Needlecraft Shop, and it's edited by Bobby Matella and Kathy Wesley, and this book, it's spiral bound, so it lies flat, which I really like. And the introduction says, "We are so excited about this collection of Afghans, we can hardly wait to share them." Because that quilt lady was also a crochet person and a scrapbook person. So she was definitely up my alley. And as I said, for a dollar, I couldn't leave this crochet book behind. So anyways, it says, "We asked our favorite designers to create Afghans that can be joined as they are crocheted. This means that once you have finished crocheting all the motifs or panels, you are really finished. Since the motifs are added one after the other, you won't have a pile of motifs that need tedious sewing together, and afghans made in panels are added as you are crocheting as well. So the good news is, once you are finished crocheting, you are really ready to enjoy your afghan." So there are 47 afghans in here, and each one is designed by someone different. And the thing that caught my eye about this book was that when I picked it up, a lot of the afghans are 3D and that they have like a flower that sort of sits on top. And every afghan in here is just so beautiful looking, especially these ones with the flowers. And it reminded me of pretty much the only afghan I know how to crochet, which was one that my grandmother did. And it has like a little rose sitting on top. Now, the ones that my grandmother did that I make, you make squares and then you join them. So apparently, if you follow the directions in this book, you don't have to go back and sew things together at the end, which is pretty cool. And the only thing that really scares me about this book is that the skill level is all sort of high intermediate. And I am a beginner. So I don't know if I will really ever make anything out of it, but who knows, someday I might improve my skills on that. So anyways, if you're at the library, because this looks old, I don't think this is, probably, on the back it says crochetbooksonline.com, might be able to find it there, but I would say, excuse me, your library would be your best bet. And I don't even see a copyright, hold on, let me look a little bit more. There must be a copyright in here. Oh, first printing, 2005. So not really all that old. Anyway, check that out if you can. The next things I have sitting here in front of me, I have the Quilt Life magazine from October. And I just wanted to point out, if you receive this magazine, that they have a really nice article on Ricky Tim's sewing studio. You get to see it and see how he organizes. And it also kind of gives a little history of how his sewing studios have evolved over time. And I thought that was interesting. And then also Alex Anderson has a nice article on how to build a better quilt. And she's talking about quilting designs and how you can make sure that your quilt, that your quilt looks balanced. So things like filling the space, distribute quilting evenly over the entire surface, reserve elaborate quilting for areas where it can be seen, mix curves with geometry and geometry with curves, and don't be afraid to cross the lines. So it's all really about choosing a quilt strategy. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So again, that was The Quilt Life, October 2012. So the next item on my desk is the October Connecting Threads catalog. And there was an item in here, actually two, that I wanted to tell you about. One is the new Dritz Thermal Thimbles, and I have got to get these. It says, these clever little blue thermal thimbles will protect your fingers while you are using your iron to press fiddly little bits and pieces. Designed to be worn on the index finger and thumb on either hand. Package contains three thimbles in slightly different sizes, and they're $4.79. That is something I will be getting, because especially when I'm doing binding or, you know, just trying to use the steam on a seam or something, I'm forever burning my fingers. So to me, I would try those. That would be worth a try. The other interesting item is the new Dritz water pen. It's $10.15, which seems a little bit steep to me, but it says, fill the reservoir with water. When the nib is wet, rub it on marks to remove them, or use the pen to make quick temporary marks. So I'm always on the lookout for marking, fabric marking items. And because I am, I also found in the Keepsake Quilting catalog that just came out this week, that's filled with all kinds of goodness, they have something for $11.99, also kind of pricey, and it is called the 6-in-1 Water Soluble Marking Pencil. It marks in white, yellow, red, green, blue, or brown. Get six colors in one in this 6-inch long plastic pencil. Just rotate the color dial, then drag the slider down to use the selected color. That sounds pretty good to me too, because you can do it in different colors, which of course you always need different colors with different colors of fabric. So I thought that was pretty good. So that was it sort of for catalogs and magazines. And now I'm going to give you my public service announcement regarding your smoke detectors. This week I've been sick with a cold, as you might be able to tell. And just to top off a week of not feeling great, I left the house one day and came back, and every smoke detector in my home was going off. I can't even begin to tell you how loud it was. Even the heat detectors in the garage were going off. Now, before I had left the house, one smoke detector was beeping, and I thought I had figured out which one it was, because when you have them in every bedroom and hallway, as you have to have for code now, they all sound like they're going. It's very difficult to figure out which one is the culprit. So anyways, I had changed the battery in one and thought I was all set. Came home, the house is blaring. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, every single one. Now, I didn't smell smoke, I didn't see anything. I was 99.9% sure there was no fire in my home, and that it had to do with the batteries on something. So the person who I most felt bad for, the people, well, I should say, shouldn't really say people, but the birds are who I felt so bad for. Gosh, I don't know if those detectors went off as I was pulling out of the driveway and I was gone for a good 40 minutes, or when I pulled back in the driveway. So I have no idea how long they were listening to this intense screeching and beeping. So I felt bad for them, but anyway, I couldn't figure out which smoke detector it was, and I went around and I took three or four of them off the ceiling, and of course they're hardwired, so you're trying to wrestle with something that's way above your head, even standing on a chair, and hard to get the batteries out because the plug that plugs into the hard wiring is sort of sitting on top of the battery case. It was a nightmare. So I called my husband at work, and he was just like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm at work, and there's really nothing I can do, so you kind of need to figure it out. Which, of course, that doesn't go over very well. So I went downstairs to the circuit breaker box, trying to find something that might say smoke detectors. Nothing's marked. All that was there was the main switch. And I was afraid to pull the main switch. I don't know why, I just was. So I ended up calling the emergency number for the fire department. And, you know, of course, the first thing they said to me was, ma'am, are you sure there's no fire? And I said, no, there's no fire. So I'm sure because I said that, they kind of took their time getting here, which was great because I then proceeded to clean my house before the fire department arrived. I had the vacuum cleaner out. I just, not that my house was a big mess, but to me, it wasn't, you know, all neat and tidy as I would want if the fire department were arriving. So in the meanwhile, my husband had called back, and because he knows I participate in Project Life, which is taking a photo a day, kind of what the highlight of the day was, he says, did you get a picture of the fire engine? And I said, no, I'm too busy vacuuming. So that was kind of the joke of the day, that I had to clean my house first. But anyways, they came in, and this is what they told me, and I will pass along to you. If your smoke detectors are going off, do not pull them off and take the batteries out. They need to see each smoke detector to determine what is going on with it. And they need to see it being as it's being set off. So number one, don't pull them down, take the batteries out. Number two, he said, do not pull the main electrical switch for the same reason. They need to see what's going on and hear what's going on. What it turned out to be, they felt, was that one of them, of course it's the one on the highest ceiling in the house, had a malfunction, which set off a sensor where they're all hardwired, that they all went off. So long story short, the smoke detectors are from 2004, and the nice fireman told me that those are simply too old. They're probably all going to start malfunctioning. So anything more than 5 years old, 5 to 7, needs to be replaced. So this October, when it's Fire Safety Month, go out and replace your smoke detectors. Now, we did do this so that we won't have a problem in the future, but it is expensive to replace them all. We had 8 to replace, and because they were hardwired, we also had to replace some of the fittings. So $380 later, we have new smoke detectors. And hopefully they will only go off if it's an emergency. And hopefully, of course, we will never have an emergency. So that's your public service announcement from Quilt Cabana Patterns. Okay, on to the next. So Friday night, my Quilt Guild is hosting an evening with Kay Fassett. And it's being held at Bentley University in Waltham. First, it was open to the Guild members. And we got our tickets for like $10, and then they opened it to the public, and I think the tickets are $15. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing him speak. I've never heard him or seen him before. I do love his fabric, although I've never made anything with it. I think it's quite beautiful. And then I was laughing because it's like no one knows how to pronounce his name. So I've been calling him Calf half the time and Cafe the other half, and my mother called him Cafe the other day. So I went online to see how you pronounce his name, and I ran across an interview that he did with someone. And he said the way to remember how to pronounce his name, although he says it makes no difference to him, is if you think of the words safe asset. So safe, Cafe, asset, facet. So it is Cafe Fassett. Hopefully we'll call him the right thing when we get there on Friday. So in my next podcast, I will be able to tell you all about that. Now, in our last podcast, we talked about a podcast research question being, what is your dream sewing machine? So for me right now, I like the sewing machine that I have. It's the Viking Sapphire, and I love it, but as I said in the last podcast, I would really like a featherweight painted some funky red or something. So that would be mine. So you got back to me in a number of places, and I will read what everyone said. On the Facebook page for Quilt Cabana Patterns, Carmen Cook says, a Bernina. I have one and it's a dream. So a lot of people, so you'll see some people already own the sewing machine of their dreams. Lucky dogs. So let's see, that was from Carmen. Over on the big tent, Judy Holmes, my mom, she says, I guess my dream machine would be a combination sewing and embroidery machine with a large throat. It would have a good automatic needle threader that works and would automatically cut the threads. It would also have a stitch regulator for free motion quilting. It would have a nice selection of built-in stitches and a selection of built-in alphabets for the embroidery machine. It would have a varied selection of snap-on feet. It would also have a circular attachment and ruffler included. All of the above would be my dream machine, and the price would be no more than $1,000. Not too much to ask, Judy says. And I say, no, that's not too much to ask. Katie, with an I, from Katie's Quilting, says, I'm not too much into embroidery, so my dream machine is a Gammel with all the bells and whistles. I would not do computerized all-over quilting since it takes the fun out of it. I would do it myself. Maybe a stitch regulator would be a good idea, too. Oh, and I'd love to have a Singer treadle machine in case we lose power. Yes, that would be great. I agree, Katie. So that was over on Big Tent. And one note on Big Tent. Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us did a nice little podcast tutorial on how to work the Big Tent in the email settings. So check that out if you have not. And also, the Big Tent is looking rather dead lately, although Sandy and I are both trying to put some discussion points on there to keep it alive, because it is a really great idea and a good place for us to all come together. So if you've left Big Tent, come back and talk to us. We're going to try to get it going, especially since Seamed Up has tanked. And there seems to be another one, Thread Bias or something, but I haven't gotten into that. And I'd prefer to stay on the Big Tent because I can work it fairly well. It's not too difficult. So, all right, next on these comments, we have Diane says, I love my Baby Lock Symphony, but wish it had a stitch regulator. I don't do much free motion quilting yet. Otherwise, a long arm would be cool, HQ16 or something like it. Yes, I agree. In fact, I would really like the Avanti because it's a little bit bigger. Okay, thank you, Diane. Colleen says, it would have to be one of those huge Berninas. I've seen and lusted over the 800 series, but now I see they're coming out with a new series, and I don't know if that's better or not. In any event, it would have to have a stitch regulator and embroidery. Yep, those seem like big points. Okay, next. Oh, come on, email. This is from Tina, and she says, I already own them, an HQ Diamond Long Arm and Cover Stitch. I am spoiled beyond belief. Yes, you are, Tina, but good for you. Good for you. I hope you use it a lot. Jackie from So Excited Quilt says, I would want a long arm, I think, and of course a house big enough to hold it. This started off a whole little slew of Twitter responses about us having a house or a lake or a cottage on a lake or somewhere to do our quilting and have retreats and stuff. So we're not too spoiled in our thinking. No, not at all. Sandy Quilts, Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, she says, at this point, either Baby Lock Serger with jet air threading or long arm for personal use only. I like my sewing machine, she says. That serger with the jet air threading sounded pretty good too. I don't have a serger, but I understand they're difficult to thread. Landscape Lady says, Handy Quilter Sweet 16. Yep, lots of people want that. And that seems to be, you know, not in too bad of a price range either. And, oh, just did that one. Katie from Katie's Quilting Corner, Quilted Magnolia, she says, does a long arm count? Yes, it does. She says, I'd love a Gammel Vision 26 with Statler Stitcher and electronic lift. That sounds good, too. Oh, and I guess that was all of them. So thank you for participating in that. It's fun to see what everybody wants. I jumped into this podcast and didn't have a chance to think of a podcast research question. So I will tweet one or put one on my blog or something as I come up with something this afternoon or tomorrow for a podcast research question. And let's see, that might be it for the podcast today. I think I covered everything I wanted to talk about for this time around. Yeah, I guess I did. So I hope that you all have enjoyed this podcast. And of course, you know where to find me. You can find me at sosandy8@yahoo.com. You can find me under Quilt Cabana on Twitter, Quilt Cabana Patterns on Facebook. You can find me at my website, which is quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can link to the blog from there. And you can also find me on Big Tent under Quilt Cabana and also on Pinterest. And also, if you're on Big Tent, Noni has requested people put up their links for Pinterest so that we can all follow each other. Pinterest is awesome if you haven't been on it. I'm sure most of us have. And you can see what really piques everyone's interest and inspires them. So take care, and I will talk to you soon. Don't forget to leave me a comment on iTunes or a rating on iTunes. I did see that I had another star this week there, so I'm at 16 ratings. And I'd like to get some more so that other people will know that this is a good podcast to join in on. So thank you, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.